The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora, I'm Senga and welcome to Heritage South, the show connecting Southlanders to their heritage and where we talk heritage happenings from around the region. My guest today needs absolutely no introduction. It was literally standing room only at his recent book launch, and I am really delighted to welcome author, naturalist, historian and educator Lloyd Esler to Heritage South.
It's lovely, Senga. Nice to be here, and hi to everybody listening out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So this is your first time joining me for an interview, so I'm really excited.
Yes, it sounds like it's going to be a good session.
It will. And, of course, we're here, we want to talk about your latest book, which is Dead and Buried in Southland. And it is your 15th book, I believe, or thereabouts.
It's something like that. Yeah. It depends what you call a book, because some of them have been resources that have been produced by schools, but it's at least the 12th one that's actually been printed and bound.
Yes. So,
and I've got 7 more sort of on the go at the moment.
We'll come to that. But of course this book is absolutely jam-packed with stories from our cemeteries. There are newspaper accounts of unexpected or unusual demise. We've got tales of shipwrecks and untimely deaths, and it is liberally sprinkled with dozens of photographs. So it's not just your words, you've got photographs that go along with a lot of the information that's in the book, haven't you, Lloyd?
I have, yeah. Mostly my photographs I've taken, I've had to call upon, with the help of Facebook and other places, to round up a few pictures that I didn't have, but mostly my work.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you did a really good introduction of your book that outlines just exactly what Dead and Buried in Southland contains. It says, death strikes in many ways and the end of life is acknowledged in epitaphs, memorial services, odes, monuments, statuary, obituaries and place names. Some have requested an unconventional burial. For some, there is no burial as there is no body. And this book looks at death's and a bit of a story, most with a Southland connection. And of course, there's no particular order. You've just put them out there.
Yep, yep.
This is, however, not a book of ghost stories.
That's right. I could have, people want ghost stories, but I don't believe in ghosts, and I've debunked a few ghost things, and I'm just not, someone else can write the ghost
That's right. Book. I'm sure that somebody else can do that. You very categorically state in your intro,
No, there
will be no supernatural or divine intervention mentioned in this book. So tell me about what it is that prompted this book.
It's actually been on the go for, probably had the idea a few years ago, where I've been collecting stories, because I've had a column in the Southland Times for a number of years, and a lot of those have been about shipwrecks and monuments and things, and I just sort of got into my head that maybe I could put all those together, and that idea has been knocking around for a few years. And about November last year, I thought, well, look, I better get off my backside and actually do it. So it only took a few months to actually round all those things up and get them together, which is a very short time for how long it normally takes to do a book.
Yes, it is a very attractive book. The cover is very attractive, and that's also one of your photographs.
It is on the cover. Now, so it's printed by Craigs, and the work in it's done by Ellie Van Empel, who was at Craigs, has just recently retired, but she does a superb job, and I just give her the pictures, and she knocks it in shape for me.
Puts it all together. So the turnaround for this book has actually been quite quick, but that the genesis of it has been boobling away for quite some time.
It has, yeah. So it's been, the title has actually been around for a number of years, but only really got to writing things down about November last year.
And of course, you've used much of what you've collected over the years as the you do these very popular cemetery guided tours around the cemeteries as well. So many of them kind of dovetail in with some of what you've got in the book.
They do. Mm. So probably half the entries in the book are actually Southland cemeteries and people who are buried in the cemeteries. But I've been taking tours of St John's Cemetery in Waikiki in the Eastern Cemetery, and more recently Bluff, just with quite a keen audience, and usually a couple of times a year.
Well,
and
I know
lots
that
lots of good stories to tell.
You often are very generous with giving of your time during March and Southland Heritage Month, and I know that last Heritage Month, well, at the Waikiki one at St John's, there were more than 100 people.
Oh, we kind of had too many.
Yeah, people came out, didn't they?
People thought, well, I need a sound system after that. So haven't had quite as many people since then. But
I think it had been a wee while since you'd done a St John's one, and the day, the weather was absolutely glorious. So just people came out.
Yeah.
So what's your favourite story from Dead and Buried?
There's lots of really interesting ones. It's the elephant one probably that people are intrigued with. And the story is that there's five dead elephants, at least five and counting dead elephants. And these are circus elephants that have died here, and three of them got poisoned. One drank weed colour, one ate hemlock, and one ate toot, I think. And then two others washed up on beaches, one on Ariti Beach and one on Stewart Island. And an elephant's kind of hard to miss, you know, if you've got a dead elephant. And they sort of, the ones that died, the circus ones that died on land, are buried where they died, because when an elephant dies, you don't look around for a suitable grave. You dig a hole next to the elephant and everybody push. So we know approximately where they are.
Yes.
So that's always an interesting story.
Yes, and so there is one quite close to the railway line in Invercargill, is that correct?
It's about under where the Salvation Army is. That was a wholesale transport company that burnt down, and then before that it was a showgrounds or something.
Right.
The elephant died there. There's one at Riverton, the back of the high school grounds, and there's one in Riversdale that drank weed colour. So
is that the story you get asked about the most, or are there other ones that people will come back to you and go, oh, tell me more about that, Lloyd? What's the story behind the story?
There's lots of really interesting ones in here, but and then there's lots of new stuff as well. Like there's the story of the life jacket, and I'll just sort of tell you that one briefly. In 1863, we had our worst New Zealand shipwreck. It was the Orpheus went down. One of the survivors was a 17-year-old soldier who swam ashore called Henry Newman, and the news of that reached England, and people assumed that everybody had died, including his mother, and she was expecting a child, and so a daughter whom she named Orpheus after her dead brother. And then Henry turns up, and he survived the shipwreck, and eventually he ended up back in Bluff as a shipmonger, and Orpheus became obsessed with safety at sea, and she attributed that to her mother's shock at getting the news about her brother's death. And she was obsessed with safety at sea, and she invented the life jacket, or the kapok-filled life jacket, which replaced the cork ones that they'd had, and sold tens of thousands of them. So, and Henry's buried in the Bluff Cemetery. So lots of
odd stories.
That's
one of those surprising stories.
Yeah, and then there's Minnie Dean, I suppose, is the one that people want to know about most.
Yes.
And he's buried in the Winton Cemetery, and with a nice gravestone. And ironically, the children that died in her tender care are buried in the pauper section at the Eastern Cemetery without any markers at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think there is somewhat a little bit of irony.
Yeah, there is.
What is the story that, when you discovered it, was one of those ones that made you go, huh, okay, that's quite surprising, I didn't know that?
Yeah, another one of them would be the Catholic burial at Ray's Bush, because the cemetery there is basically a Catholic cemetery, because it was sort of Catholic central at Ray's Bush. This goes from Galway, and the Protestants are confined to a tiny, remote, unpopular corner of the cemetery, and the Catholics have certainly got the lion's share of it. And you can go and check that out yourself at some stage.
And I think it is interesting. A lot of people enjoy wandering around cemeteries, because you will find it's a real snapshot of social history in many ways when you're visiting graveyards. But I have to say, Lloyd, that there were a couple of stories that I found surprising or of interest. The first one you've got in the book is titled "Don't Slide Down the Banisters," and yes. And I feel like this could have been an entry for the Darwin Awards. This married accountant for the Bank of Australasia 100 years ago. What did he do? Yes.
Well, he slid down the banisters and he fell off and he died. And that was all that was, that was in the paper. And
sort
of a tragedy at the time. But there is a lesson in that.
I know.
Do not slide down
the banisters. A Saturday night at the club hotel.
Yeah.
He'd been coming down the banisters, just tumbled off and straight onto a concrete floor.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Yeah,
And of course, I think the other one for me, and I remember hearing you talk about this during the St. John's Waikiki Cemetery tour. And of course, this is this idea. 14th of November 1883 was not a good year. All of these people being struck by lightning.
This is the lightning one.
Yes.
We had three people killed in one day in three separate lightning strikes. There were two children at Forest Hill in different places, and one in Invercargill, and his name was Arthur Crisp, and he's buried in the Waikiki Cemetery, and people are allowed a certain sort of wry smile at the fact that his name is Arthur Crisp, and he got hit by lightning. And There was another farmer who lost some horses. They were struck by lightning with a crack of lightning. His name was Mr. Crack. But poor old Arthur Crisp was a real well-respected man. There was nothing funny at the time.
No,
but after
no,
that
not
passage
at all.
Of time, you can allow yourself a small
It was 100 years ago.
It was 100 years ago.
More, 100 years and more.
Yes.
I think what people might not realise, Lloyd, is that you talked about how Craig Printing has put your books together and printed them, but you actually published them yourself.
Yes. There's a couple of reasons for that. One, they're not publishable in their current form by a mainstream publisher. It's just the way I write. If you get a publisher to work on it, if they accept it, there's a lot of, you kind of lose editorial control over that, and it does take all the hassle out of publicising it and everything, and they give you a royalty, hopefully. If you do it yourself, you've got the hassle of selling them all, but you do get to keep the loot, if any, and wear the loss, if any.
It's a fairly fine margin you have on your books, Lloyd. But you were talking before about you've got a number of books on the go. Before we run out of time, do tell us what the next book is.
The next one is Bluff.
Yeah.
So the last major book on Bluff was Bluff Harbour by John Hall Jones, and it's 50 years ago. So this is a replacement for that.
It's necessary. It's to fill in that piece that, of course, has happened since John wrote his book.
A lot of stuff. Well, the smelter, the freezing works is closed, the island harbour's much more efficient, and there's a whole lot of other bits and pieces too. Yeah.
We managed to sell quite a few copies for you at the book launch, which was great. And I know that people have been contacting you to get hold of their own copy. But before we finish, let's just let people know that you have obviously copies of Dead and Buried in Southland, but you've also got some of your back catalogue.
That's right.
So if there's books that they are keen to get hold of that you've written, chances are you may have a copy or two that they can purchase as well.
I've got a list that I can I can email people. So email is the best contact.
It's, so tell them how they can get hold of you, Lloyd.
Okay, well, it's Lloyd Esler, that's L-L-O-Y-D-E-S-L-E-R, at Outlook.com.
Fantastic.
And then I'll give you the, I'll just send you the price list, or you can phone me if you want. And then, so it's 03, hang on, which 021-176-6580.
Wonderful.
And happy to talk. And if anyone with any information about Bluff, I'm very happy to hear it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Look, thanks so much for joining me here at Heritage South, Lloyd.
Yes.
And thanks for listening. This show is available as a podcast from Radio Southland, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links can also be found on Facebook through Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and also on Heritage South at Heritage South NZ. And if you don't want to miss any episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform through the Access Media app or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.